Well, hello everybody. Glad you're with us today. I think they're going to start us out with a screen because I'm going to show you what my office looked like today. Can y'all see the whole screen, or is it not facilitating yet?
I think it's the imagination screen, Eddie, because I can't see anything yet.
All black.
Can you guys see Eddie?
I can see Eddie.
No. I can see the split screen and I see black. Maybe this is where he takes the magic chalk out and starts drawing.
All right, so can you see the kind of a pretty good sized picture? I was going to show you my office. So let's see. Well, let me just do this.
Oh.
This is behind me. It's just full of balloons.
Nice.
Okay, there's my couch, and there's in front of my office. Everybody see all my balloons? All right. Anyway, so I walked in this morning, and Debbie had filled my office full of balloons. Because I wasn't in the office yesterday. As soon as I flew back home, my son had some surgery, and so it was an outpatient deal, and so I went to the surgery center as soon as I got home from the airport. And anyway, because in celebration of this Hall of Fame thing, he filled my office full of balloons.
Aww.
And did they get any helium in them, Eddie?
Yes, it did, but to be honest with you, it's 100 degrees here, and by the time she went and did it yesterday afternoon and filled them up, I think when she came in this morning, they were riding low.
I think you should do the class tonight, sucking off the helium. Listen to the Mickey Mouse voice or the Donald Duck voice.
That's a good idea.
Frustrated because she took and filled up all these balloons with helium, and apparently my whole ceiling was full of balloons.
Aww.
Anyway, it's nice. I thought that was funny.
Nice. You're well loved and well deserved.
Lucky day. I laughed in my acceptance speech. I said, best thing I can say is, School of Hard Knocks has been a long school, but Nope School is trying to shorten that curve. So
that's for sure.
Okay, we're gonna start with Mr. Mahmood.
Okay, let me unmute. Mahmood, you are unmuted.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eddie.
Mahmood, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I know that when Mahmood has a question, it's going to be a good one.
It's so, my first attempt at this particular a transaction, and I just want to be sure that I'm doing it the right way.
Okay.
So there is a note investor who has a non-performing note, and he has some taxes and HOA dues to be paid within the next month before they go to the tax deed sale. So I want to lend him. In other words, I want him to hypothecate the note to me.
Okay.
I can lend him against that note, and I would make sure that the money that I advance, I paid the taxes and the HOA directly, so there's no, so there's assurance there that those dues have been paid.
Okay.
The sale, the foreclosure sale on that note is already scheduled for October, so the borrower, the investor is telling me, he's promising to pay me back when the sale takes place, if the property sells. If the property does not sell, then I would get a first position deed of trust with a note for 1 year at a high interest rate. So that note would mature in 1 year. Now, I understand that there are two transactions here, one up to the point of the foreclosure sale, and then the second transaction is the point after the sale until the maturity of the note. So if I'm understanding this correctly, I would take a collateral assignment of the note. Is that correct?
You would. Well, there's two ways you can do it, okay? The safest way to do it is to take a full assignment. That doesn't mean he wouldn't do a note to you. But instead of collaterally assigning it, he assigns it, so if he defaults, there's no foreclosure necessary.
Run that by me again.
Do a straight up assignment of lien. So when you do when you have a bank line of credit, you know, like most banks, and you know banks that have, you know, hypothecated lines of credit, that's why when you look in the courthouse, you don't see any collateral assignments. Because they've taken a pure assignment of lien, even though it was collateral for a loan.
Understood, yes.
And the reason you would do that is that means if they defaulted and you got your collateral, which is the note, you wouldn't have to foreclose on that. So right. They sign a note, a promise to pay, they endorse their note to you, pay to the order of whatever your capital fund is, don't put without recourse, because you want it with recourse, and you could do a straight assignment of lien. And if I were making up the rules, that's how I would do it. If I were borrowing the money, I would insist on a collateral assignment. Because there is still a foreclosure process and a time to cure written within the collateral assignment, right? So the collateral assignment would be like repossessing a boat. Repossess the property. So it's like repossessing a boat or you know, restaurant equipment. Okay? But the assignment of lien means you got it. So yes, you would endorse the note, you would do an allonge of the note, specifying or not specifying the recourse. Typically, you would do a security agreement, and that security agreement would be, you know, spelling out the terms of their loan with you.
This is all before the sale.
Yeah, so you're taking this note and this assignment prior to the foreclosure sale. Now, let me tell you this, okay? The only reason I may not do that is that the attorney that's foreclosing says, you do that, you got some kind of a trip switch starting over with the assignment. Okay? You probably don't have any trip switch starting over if they borrow money against the note and do a collateral assignment. So I'm giving you two strategies. Both will work. One is slightly better than the other. The full assignment is going to be a stronger transaction than a partial. It's not a partial, but a collateral assignment.
Okay.
Well, it is kind of a partial assignment, right? They're assigning the lien as collateral. They're not assigning the lien.
Signing the lien as collateral. Yes, okay.
But historically, when you do this, you will have a separate agreement, which will be a security agreement, which will spell out the terms of your loan. So typically, they're going to sign a note, okay, to you, pay to the order of, and they're going to do a security agreement that lays out what the deal is. They're going to endorse the physical note that they're putting up as collateral to you, don't specify without recourse, And then you got to assign the security agreement, which is the lien, which is the lien against the property itself. That can be an assignment of lien or a collateral assignment of the lien. So you're going to loan them the money, right? For you to loan them the money, you're going to want them to sign a note.
Yes.
You're going to want, usually the security agreement, it lays out the terms of your agreement amongst them, the terms of your loan, which would lay out what you sort of specified here. You can specify within there, in the case of a default, the borrower has already assigned the lien to the lender. That's not illegal. I promise you it isn't.
Okay.
Not that I'm granting legal advice, but I know what they look like.
So there was also talk about a UCC-1 filing. How does that compare with the assignment?
Okay, so that's a good question. So they are, Mahmood, they are assigning as collateral personal property. A note is personal property. It's mm-hmm. like a boat. It's like restaurant equipment. Okay? Mm-hmm. So to put of record the personal property records, this loan transaction, you're going to use a uniform commercial code, UCC, and it's called a UCC-1, and you file it with the Secretary of State. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I have, you can double latch the door, so to speak, and do a UCC-1, but if you got the note they're assigning to you, you're holding that note, and you're holding a full assignment of lien, I don't think you need a UCC-1.
Okay, understood.
But yes, you can do that, and you would file that with the Secretary of State. And you can do a UCC search to make sure they haven't assigned it to somebody else. You could do a title search for the real estate and a UCC search on the property itself. And if it's a lot of money, you probably should. Depends on how well you know them. If Zarina were loaning me the money, she wouldn't need to do all that. But if you're loaning money to somebody that you don't know quite so well, then that's how you would double check and it through via research and make sure they haven't already done it.
Okay, so if it doesn't sell at the foreclosure sale, then the trust deed document should be prepared beforehand and in a third party's possession?
Well, once again, it depends on who's foreclosing. If they're doing a full assignment of lien, it's technically in your name.
Right.
Then you could convey it to them. And once again, if depending on what state it's in, whether you would do it that way. If you're in a state like Michigan that has a transfer tax, you're not going to go through all that monkey trail.
Now, this is in Arizona.
If you're in Arizona and there's no transfer tax in Arizona, I don't see any reason you wouldn't do it. Now, I'm going to get Moore to weigh in on this because he actually has a lot of experience doing stuff like this. Moore, have I missed something?
No, you've got it pretty much nailed down. The only thing I would just be extra careful on is make sure you understand, you know, have Pro Title or somebody run a more detailed O&E for you real quick. It'll take about 24 to 48 hours, just because where it says 800K SBA cross-collateralization loan, you want to make sure that that stays junior.
Yes. For sure.
And when you say cross-collateralized loan, tell me what you mean by that.
Okay.
I just don't know what they've I don't know the type of scenario where they would have done this.
Okay, so the owner of the house, at one point they went and they got a business loan on a business that they owned, and the SBA, what they will very often do is if they don't think that the business provides them enough collateral, they'll go ahead and they'll go after the business owner's personal assets. So they'll go after your house, your cars, that UCC one as part of an all assets filing. So you just want to make sure that you got all your ducks in a row. And as we always tell you, Mamu, just because an attorney is involved in the transaction, it may not mean that that attorney is the best legal advice for this transaction. So just double check the dots on the I's and cross the T's.
But you're foreclosing on a first, and this guy had a pizza shop or whatever, and he went and got a SBA loan, and they put a second on his house as well as his business. They did what Kevin referred to, the scenario where they tied up all these other assets. When they did that, that the banks would refer to that as a dragnet clause.
It's a clawback. Yeah, they got the pizza, the oven, the sauce, the tomatoes, the cheese, the truck, the boxes, the bag, the soda machine. They got everything.
So, okay. Kevin used a term that is kind of an industry term, O&E. But I would use just I tell you the truth, we had really good experience with ProTitle, and I would get a search from them, and you can get a UCC search from them.
Yeah, and they're very good at, if you call them and walk them through your deal, they will tell you what the best search to do is. I've had very, very good luck with them, as many students have as well.
Oh, that's good to know.
So there's a little bit of a choice here, and that is whether you want to take a full assignment or collateral assignment. And you want to make sure that the attorney that's foreclosing understands that you may have to do some kind of joint representation letter where is handling the foreclosure on behalf of not only them, but on behalf of you. Because technically, they can't foreclose without you authorizing it.
Okay. Joint representation. Yes, that's...
You understand why that's true? They have assigned their rights to the enforcement document.
Yes. Okay.
I wish my mood would come on with something like this about every other week.
What's this property worth, Mahmood? Any idea?
About 275. 250 to 275.
Nice. All right. If I put it on Trulia, it's going to be green, huh?
I'm sorry?
If you put it on Trulia, it's going to pop up all green? With a few cactus in it, because it's in Arizona.
Well, it's the part of the country where the ground is usually sand and hot and
red,
brown.
Yeah.
So Arizona is a super lean state. I don't remember. I think it is, isn't it?
It is. I checked that. That's why it's important to make sure that is paid. Would the HOA negotiate on the lien?
I would.
That's a good question.
You think they would more?
They may negotiate. The other thing too, Mahmood, is check. Believe it or not, even in the super priority states, the super lien states, some of them do have statutory limits as to what they can charge in terms of interest and everything. So, you know, I do a little homework, and then it can't hurt to ask.
Right.
Do you want to know what I would say to that, Mahmood?
Mm-hmm.
You're not motivated to figure that out.
Right.
I mean, you're making them a loan that you're earning a high rate on, and they should have figured that out. It's not your job to go figure that out.
You're right.
Part of your loan proceeds is paying off whatever the deal is, and it ain't really, you're not, you know, you and I can't, it's hard to think that way sometimes because we're thinking, we're always trying to position every angle and thinking through it. Sometimes when you're the lender, it's just like, it ain't your job to rehab, it's just your job to make a loan and rehab.
Right.
I'm saying, I mean, you might could find a contractor cheaper than somebody else could if you're loaning money on a fix and flip, but as long as the math works, it ain't really your, it's not really your problem. Not that you don't care, but it's just a lot of brain damage for not a lot of money.
Okay.
I will tell you something very interesting. I have had on numerous occasions students that came to me and said, I got this great angle. We're going to go buy association, homeowner association dues in super lien states and wipe everybody out. I've had at least 15 students tell me that over the past 2 years. You heard that before, Zarina? Because we've had some people that you and I commonly know that have said, oh, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I ain't had any of them come back yet and give me that success story. So I know that super lien states theoretically say they have superior liens. I just haven't seen it. But in your case, what's the deal? Somebody's come to you with a lending opportunity because they got a deal that's in a super lien state and they're out of money. Mahmood, that is a great question.
Thank you.
Whole thing.
I'll see if it materializes.
Yeah. If you figure out how to buy them super lien states in the, all across the country and wipe out everybody, let me know about that. I had some smart students who's tried it, but I ain't had anybody come back yet with the grand prize. More, you know, do you know about that?
Say what, eh?
You know about that business?
On getting liens negotiated down and all that?
I know. In your travels, you know people that thinks they're going to go buy a homeowner association liens and wipe everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was a thing. Yeah, that lasted about a month. there was a thing. We worked on that down in Florida a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Thanksgiving.
State I've heard it come more than once has been Nevada. Everybody's going to go buy. See, like one third of all the delinquent mortgages in Vegas are the homeowner association is insolvent.
Yeah. Didn't Ken Ballantyne have a run-in one time about that?
Yeah. Several people, smart people, all of them smart.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen anybody build a business with it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mahmood.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome deal he's making there.
The next up is Sarah.
Sarah, are you dueling today?
I'm having issues here. I'm back on, I think, via my phone.
All right. Well, a lot of people don't know this, but Sarah is one of our new people on content, but she, as is Ellen, is active in the business, and these are questions about real deals that she has, and so we appreciate her being willing to share with us. So tell us your story, Sarah.
Yeah, so I have this, I bought a non-performing note a couple months ago. It's in Indiana. the house, I did hear back from the servicer, it's abandoned, and it's it looks pretty trashed. So what I was wondering, it is a note and mortgage, though. It's not a land contract. So the servicer is looking in to see if they can get an expedited foreclosure going. But in the meantime, what I was wondering is, should I go ahead and get it cleaned out and cleaned up before it's foreclosed upon, or should I wait until it is foreclosed upon? Because the cost is about $1,800, which isn't huge, but you know, I'm wondering, what if this person, and they probably won't, but what if this person suddenly comes back and decides to start living there again? Then am I totally out the money, or how does that work?
All right, this is a great question. It is a common question, and you are making a common mistake.
Okay.
So the issue is, if you don't get the yard mowed and the limbs picked up and the house secured, okay, then you have a problem with the city.
Okay.
And in certain places, the arena will tell you they can be very unfriendly. Mm-hmm. Heard a story about lately, Zarina?
I heard one.
10 o'clock this morning, huh?
Yep.
Okay. So one of the things that you have to do is that you have to get one of these, a mowing service, one of the preservation companies, or one of the private mowing services, and Charles has a couple of names of those that he's used outside of the preservation companies. You got to get this cleaned up, because otherwise the city's going to red tag it. Boom.
Okay. And I did the servicer did get me a quote from a local company to do the yard.
Okay.
So I should just go ahead and do that.
What's that number, by the way?
For the yard was 700.
Okay.
Which I thought sounded a little steep.
$700 job to me.
I didn't think so.
Do that again.
$700 mow job to me.
That's what I thought too.
Will
a servicer get a second opinion if I ask them to?
Yeah. Ping Charles Zarina, if you would. This is something that you need to put up on the membership site. He had a property that looked just about like this. It actually was his personal asset. You know, he buys some defaulted notes just like you guys.
Okay.
He bought this asset, and he got a bid for like $700, and he found a yard mowing company to do it for $250.
Oh.
And then put it on a 3-week mow cycle and do it for $50 each after.
So is this something that I could facilitate on my own, or do I need to go through the servicer?
You do not.
Okay.
I mean, they all have preservation because they have to, but you can do it absolutely on your own. So it depends on what your relationship is. You just need to let them know you got it done on your own.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know.
And Zarina sits in on some kind of executive level calls with us about this issue. You know, do you get your own preservation or do you not? And, you know, I mean, you can't blame the servicers and you can't blame the national companies, but sometimes there's just a cheaper vendor out there. I forgot what this call is like, Yards or Us, or I don't know. Anyway, it's some kind of a franchise. No, I'm serious. I think it's kind of what it is. I don't think. It's not quite that name, but it's close to it. And it's like a yard mowing, guys.
Okay, that's good to know. I guess I didn't.
Let's talk about
it. It seems obvious.
Sorry,
it seems obvious, but I didn't really realize I could secure that service on my own. So that's good to know.
Yeah, two comments that quickly came in directly related to this was Robin Jackson was recommending contacting the local RIA club president that may have a name or two.
Oh. Okay.
Sandy Hilbert also asked, where is the property? Because she knew of someone in Southeast Indiana that could help.
Oh, it's Northwest. It's like suburban Chicago.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, the closer you get up there, the closer you get to the... They got fangs.
Fangs?
Fangs, as in...
Fangs are like fangs. This. I've never seen no fangs like this.
It's the southern twang threw me for a little bit there.
One other recommendation, there are lots coming in from Alan, was if preservation is not done by the preservation company, then to ensure you let the servicer know so they can relay, make sure that the invoices are relayed to the servicer to add to the amount owed.
Mr. Mangan.
Here is Dr. Preservation himself.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody, tell Mangan happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hey, he tried to flip the numbers around on the candles, I'm just saying.
Do what you got to do, Eddie.
All right, so we talked about that she's got to get the yard cleaned up.
Okay.
So basically, I have this property. It's in Indiana, and I just got a quote back from the servicer yesterday with a quote to clean up the inside and the outside. Uh-huh. This is an abandoned note and mortgage, so I'm waiting to hear back from them on foreclosure procedures. But my question was, should I go ahead and do this now, or should I wait until it's foreclosed upon? Well, and Eddie was saying definitely do the outside. What about the inside? Does it matter? Or?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't worry about the inside right now. I would go ahead and get the outside cleaned up. Just make sure it's secured. You know, it looks like there's a board on the window, so just make sure the doors stay secured. I would get an interior inspection, though, just to make sure the roof's not leaking. I mean, it's kind
of sent me a bunch of pictures.
Okay. So the roof okay? It doesn't appear like it's leaking.
Yeah, but this property, I drove by it actually on my way somewhere else. So I saw it in person, and it doesn't look quite as bad in person as it looks in the pictures.
It'll look better once you get the yard cleaned up. I mean, it just,
you know,
get that yard cleaned up, it's going to look a lot better. So you got a fence right there on the right. You got a brand new fence.
Yeah, I think the neighbor put that up.
I'm sure they did.
If the neighbor put it up, why did he put the outside of the fence going to the neighbor? That's kind of stupid.
I think that's law up here, because I had to do one like that and a flip I did.
It is.
Also, the neighbor gets the pretty side?
Yeah. I mean, there that I've been
the neighbor gets the pretty side.
Yep.
I think a lot of times people like the pretty side on the outside, Eddie. If I'm in my backyard, I won't look at the pretty side, don't you?
That's more that
makes sense to me.
I was talking about that last night.
That's a selling point right there. But no, I would get the yard cleaned up, and I wouldn't worry about the inside yet. I would go ahead and do
the fender you could use.
Huh?
Send me that fender you could use.
Actually, what state? It's in Indianapolis.
Indiana. Indiana. It's northwest. It's like Chicago suburbs.
Okay. Yeah. I used a company called Lawn Love, LAWNLOVE.
Okay, and you had one up in that area?
Yep, they're nationwide.
Okay.
They should have a vendor up there. You can just go to their website, and that was really the most realistic bid I got. I got a few different bids from vendors, and they actually came in. They were more reasonable than. And that's not always the case. So they'll go out there and give you a pricing on it. This yard doesn't look bad. You got some limbs down. Yeah, they're going to have to cut that tree up. But
the quote from the servicer was $700. So I thought that was a lot.
Yeah, and that could be a little steep. So just, and again, a lot of times you can reach out to Angie's List. There's lawn guys, out there that you can use through them, and sometimes local vendors, I wish we had just a local network in every city and state, and we don't. It would be great, but we rely on our preservation companies because they do a good job, and they have bonded contractors, but it doesn't mean you can't get a bonded contractor through Angie's List or something like that.
Right. Okay.
So let's just talk 1 second about securing the house before we move on. I want to make sure you understand what securing the house means.
Yeah, the preservation company or the servicer did it. They put made sure the windows were all boarded up, and then they put locks on both doors, combination locks.
So typically, when you have an NPL, a vacant home, and it's an NPL, they should only secure one door, And in most cases, I always say the back door. It could be the front door, but I usually say the back door. And it's just because if these borrowers come back, you've locked them out of their house. And technically until the foreclosure is completed, they still have a right to that house. I mean, they still own that home. So, and I'm not saying they're going to come back, but just for future reference, I would only secure one door. And that would be... and that way, if they do come back, they couldn't come back and try to sue you, saying you locked you out of your house, and or it will prevent them from kicking the door in.
That's the industry standard. You secure one door, and it's typically a back door. If there's not a back door, it's a side door.
Right. Okay.
And the servicer, I mean, they would probably know that, wouldn't they, or no?
They should. Now, if both doors were unsecure, they'll secure both doors. Now, that's not a problem.
Okay.
If they go out there and the doors are open, unlocked, then they have the right to secure the house. Typically, if you're securing it just to gain entry, to make sure they're inside, the roof's not leaking or something, you only want to make entry through one door and secure it.
Okay, I'll double check with them. It's one of the suggested vendors, so I'm assuming they did it the way they're supposed to, but I'll double check.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And it could be that the doors were just unsecured and they went ahead and secured both of them.
Okay.
Very good.
But in the meantime, Charles, you would wait on cleaning up the inside until it's fully foreclosed upon?
Yeah, I would get through the foreclosure before I really did remove anything. And here's the other thing, and I don't know what kind of debris is on the inside of it. Is it just trash or is it furniture and clothes? Is it,
Rolex watch
laying up on the dresser, the vacuum flame that was laying on that dresser. So I wouldn't worry with that as long. I would just
keep
the outside of it cleaned up, to prevent any type of code violations, and then you can worry about that later.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The house really doesn't look like a bad little house.
Yeah, it's cute. It's a nice area. It is suburban Chicago, so it's, even being a really, really starter home, could at least get at least 60 for it.
And I'm sure the neighbors would appreciate you cleaning up that yard.
Yeah. I'll get on that.
they'll probably keep an eye out for that property for you. You keep it cleaned up, they'll keep an eye on that property for you.
Yeah, okay. Great, thank you.
So, unfortunately, I don't think Roman's been able to jump on yet.
He's on the phone now. And so, this actually plays into, if you guys just call into the phone, you can hear us, but we can't unmute you and we can't select you. So,
well, you can.
He's on, I just can't talk.
Can't you give him a PIN number?
I can't, because we can only give PIN numbers when their name's on the list. And he didn't log in, he just called in, so his name's not on the list. Okay. Yeah. So, we're just going to have to cover it, and he'll have to text me.
Just, could we go back one question on the previous, as a question just came through that was relevant? Eddie, you had started talking about securing the home and what that means. Was there more than just securing the doors, or was that sort of the all that was to it?
Well, in this case, there was apparently a broken window because they boarded up a window, and there is a definitive industry standard for boarding up a house. And so he's already had the preservation company go out. Here's kind of what we would say would be the normal protocol, okay? You buy a delinquent note, you've got to get an inspection, and you've got to get a lawn mowing service in a rotation to mow it. Right, Charles? I mean, that's standard operating procedure. Just like in September, you start having houses winterized. And winterizing a house is more than just going and cutting off the toilets because they suck the water out of the lines.
Yeah.
They vacuum the water out of the lines.
And you'll also want to do this on this house. You do want to get this house winterized. So here in the next 30 days, everybody start winterizing houses. And, again, you know, they may come back. The water may not be owned, but even though the water is not owned, they still need to come out there and at least try to do a dry winterization on this house, blow the lines out, drain the toilets if there's any water standing in them, and okay. and make sure that they've got a that they do have it winterized.
And now, one interesting
Chicago,
thing.
Chicago is considered a southern state.
Yeah, sure it is.
You need to just wait until late November on that.
There you go.
Yeah, it's still 90 degrees up here. One interesting thing.
Wait until December then.
One interesting thing on this property is I drove by it maybe 2 weeks after I acquired it. And so I had stopped and taken pictures, and it was already boarded up. So when I talked to the servicer for the first time, they were just kind of shocked that it had already been boarded up. They're like, who did it? I have no idea. So they were going to try and track it down. I haven't heard back from them yet, but it was already boarded when I bought it.
Well, it could have been the previous homeowner when they got up and left. They may have just boarded the window up and moved.
Okay.
I mean, the previous servicer could have done it. The borrower may have done it when he moved out of the house. It's not likely. It had to be a previous servicer. So we don't really know how long this home's been vacant. So.
No.
But, you know, again, they put a board. I mean, you know, a lot of times if windows are broken, they'll just board them. They won't replace the window until after somebody acquires it and it goes through a foreclosure. And then they'll replace the windows at that point. But it's not bad. I mean, you want to keep it boarded because that's just, it's more security for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Zarina, do you know this story well enough? You think we can get through it without Roman?
I know a little bit. I know a little bit. We can go through it.
Let's do that and see if we can get Roman's question answered here.
Yeah. So Roman, he's doing some campaigns and stuff like that.
Is this where the borrower is a deadbeat grandson?
That's right. So he gets a call from this grandma. And she financed the house to her grandson at 0% interest. He pays like $6,000 to his grandma, and then he defaults on his grandma after 14 months. So she made this loan like in 2012. So he ain't been paying for a while. And she's, you know, she doesn't want to mess with the family ties, and, you know, she feels taken advantage of and whatnot. So she's thinking about selling the loan. So he asked her, you know, would you mind if we kind of like kicked her grandson out or something like that? So she's just looking for somebody else to smack her grandson around. So she's hoping to sell the loan, get something for it, and then whatever happens, happens, kind of like straighten him out a little bit.
All right. This is, when you're marketing for seller finance notes, you don't find a lot of defaulted notes. Normally, when you're marketing for seller finance notes, they call you with notes that are paying, okay? But this has certainly happened in the past, and usually when you buy a seller finance note that's in default, you can hit, as my father-in-law used to say, a double-barrel home run. Because a lot of the time, there is some serious friction between the seller and the buyer. Now, Zarina, when I'm an old man and my little grandbabies come along, and if I ever do anything, tell them to pay me. I will foreclose.
Okay.
Ain't got nothing to do with their inheritance. I'm just telling you. Don't pull that little smack of deal on me. So that lady has got herself in a box. She's trying to help her grandson out, and now he just decided he's going to be sorry and don't want to pay. Listen, he said, well, maybe he can't pay. Well, then sell the house and settle up with grandma. Do something. Don't live there for free. And, you know, that's not right. So.
And she didn't even charge him any interest.
I know. The lady's been crazy good to him.
Yep.
So, not that I would provoke this. But I do know some techniques.
Really?
To get grandma, like, you know, she wants his ass spanked.
Yep.
She don't want to do it.
Right.
So what I would say is I'd say, look, I want you to understand, before we even get into pricing, he signed an obligation to pay you, and you, like, made a crazy easy deal. normally seller financing is written at 8 or 10% interest, and you wrote it at zero. So you know when you sell this loan that it's going to have a big discount in it, and that's because you were so kind to your grandson. Now, I want to tell you this, Zarina. I'm not grandma like you, and we're gonna have a lesson here. It's gonna be no pay, no stay.
No stay. Yeah.
And, I would do that because she wants this thing to get rectified. She just don't want to do it.
Right.
So. You just back into it. Now, here's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about her documentation.
Like maybe she didn't do it right?
You know.
Kind of like on the back of a napkin kind of thing?
I'm just saying, here's Grandma, and he cooked up this deal. Can you imagine the grandson giving all the paperwork drawn up and saying, Grandma, here's your deal.
Yeah.
Our attorney did it. You see what I'm saying? You're laughing, aren't you?
Of course.
So I'm just saying you need to check the man on the Twitch here. That story just ties in, doesn't it?
It does.
So that would be what I'm concerned about. But if you buy this deal, you're going to buy it at a serious discount. And it looks like he's got some numbers here that's
And so his question, he wants to know, where does he even start as far as pricing?
You run dual pricing. You price it as a paying 0% note, and you price it as an NPL, and you pick the lower of the two. You got to run dual pricing.
Okay.
What would you do if you started accelerating and the old boy came in and started paying again? Well, you'd be stuck with the same old dumb deal Grandma made. Grandma made.
Yeah, grandma's out here, Zarina.
Right.
So you just run out dual pricing and see which one's which.
Okay. That's crazy.
I tell you what I would do. I would position it just talking to her, you know. I'd say, do you know what the tax situation is? You know, obviously he's not paying you. Is he paying the taxes on the house?
I think so. I think he mentioned that. Roman's getting on, by the way. But I think he mentioned that the taxes are being paid.
Wonder if he's got the house insured.
That I don't know. Here's Roman. Roman, you there? Oh, he's coming.
We're gonna bring in Roman via satellite.
His phone's unmuted. I don't know if we can hear him or not. I think that he said he checked the taxes and it was being paid. He doesn't know by who though.
Well, so
probably
there's
grandma.
So it doesn't. So, honestly, it doesn't surprise me he's paid the taxes. He just thinks Grandma ain't going to do anything. He knows
she ain't done nothing.
He knows the taxing authority will do something.
She may have paid taxes herself, Eddie, afraid the grandson's going to lose his house.
I bet not. I'm betting not. He just knows Grandma ain't gonna foreclose on him, and he's playing that card game.
Yeah.
Wow.
So once again, I'm a little concerned about the documentation. I would price it as a performing note with the remaining terms, and I would price it as a non-performing note.
Okay.
And I would put in some extra sugar in it.
Extra sugar, how was that?
That means an additional discount.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, this is, I mean, he's going to be more work, and he's got to go pay for his direct mail marketing. She's not a capital fund that, you know, Note School meets at a trade show. So he needs to go, yeah. Budget paying for the marketing that produced this opportunity for her to sell her problem.
Right.
Not taking advantage of her. She's got a problem. Roman doesn't have a problem. She's got the problem. He's just trying to solve it. So I would put in some additional discount, because trust me, she's gonna take some additional hand holding. It ain't gonna be like wiring the money over to Note, or, you know, to Colonial, and it's just gonna be blink blink and it's done.
Right, right.
Okay.
This reminds me of that story that note that you had, where you kept buying partials, and then the last like 5 years they tried to strong arm you, and you found out that the borrower was like the ex-wife or something like that.
So what happened was this guy and his girlfriend were cohabitants, and they owned a house together, and they broke up. And so but they had legal right to the house together. So he sold his interest in the house to her with owner financing. That, by the way, is called an oilty lien. Mangan, you ought to be impressed that I remember that.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
That's called an oilty lien. Very seldom. Usually divorce settlement liens or partnership division liens are only the kind that are called oilty liens. Okay?
Never heard that. Okay.
So they sold, he seller financed it with an oilty lien because he owned his half interest, although she was mortgaging all of the property. She wasn't mortgaging just his half interest. Okay? That's why it's an oilty lien. So he had a lien on this house, and he had sold a partial. Now, this was like literally 20 years ago. And we put options that we bought a 4-year partial with an automatic renewal every 4 years. So we're like 16 years into this thing, and somehow somebody goofed up when we bought it and didn't catch the last 4 years. So we called her but we got the guy that owned the note. We got his new wife, who we were kind of remembered in all the notes. We had always dealt with him. We'd never really dealt with, I mean, we always dealt with his new Mrs. and not, you know, business. We didn't deal with Bill. We dealt with, you know, Jane, so to speak. And so I got in this conversation with her, and she said, so I just made her the same offer that we had made her before. And we, by the way, we bought these things in installment partial deals, and we were getting like 30% yield on our money. And we only paid for 4 years, and then we got those 4 years, and we paid for another four, and like that, you know. Anyway, long story short, I get in this conversation with the lady, and I said, well, the borrower is delinquent. I said, now she's been paying for 16 years, but the truth of the matter is the borrower's delinquent. And the lady gets really stiff and goes, yes, I know, she's had trouble. Wonder how she would know 16 years later, when she ain't collected payment from the lady in 16 years. Seems like they know each other.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, you sound like you know the borrower. She said, oh, I know her. And I said, you do? She said, yes. And I said, are you guys friends? She said, I wouldn't say that. Huh. Man, I got my negotiating boots on now. I'm fixing to dig for it.
Yep.
So, so we get down to it, and she finally admits that, her husband and this payer were an item. And that when they married, she told him, you ain't never going to talk to her again. If there's any talking to her, it'll be me or whoever buys that note. It won't. You ain't going to be making no collection calls. Just saying. Anyway, I negotiated the deal for the same price we'd bought all the other partials for. Because I realized that an assignment of that mortgage back to the original payer, back to the original guy that owned that note, that wasn't going to happen.
Nope. That's funny. You surprised? I remember that story, huh?
Zarina, you've been with me so long. You've heard so many of my stories. All right, Roman, I hope we helped you there. I think you really do have a deal there, brother. I'd ride this pony.
Yeah, he had to hop off. He's having issues, so okay. I think we covered it.
All right, cool.
Cool.
What else we got, ladies?
Given the time, do you want to take open mic questions, or do you want me to add them to tomorrow's agenda and we can just cover the note expo?
How many do you have?
One primarily at the moment.
All right, let's cover it. We'll be out of here.
Okay, Alan, I'm going to unmute you and let you quickly ask your question. You are unmuted.
Okay, great. We bought a new personal residence and moved, and the seller carried back the part of the purchase price, the part that we didn't pay as a down, in a note. However, the note requires that we pay off that note when we have sold our previous residence. So that closing is happening this week. So we've either got to pay off the note or do something else. The thought is that sometimes there's an advantage of leaving a lien showing on the county records on the new residence. And maybe I should just have one of my entities that are non-tax sheltered, so that there's no prohibited parties, buy the lien from the original seller and just carry it in that entity and let it show on property records.
You sound like you sound like you've been to some Dykes Botiford, Jeff Watson, Walter Woford.
Yeah, a couple of those guys.
Is that true?
Yes.
Because then none of them guys that don't have house free and clear that didn't have some mortgage on it.
Right.
How big is the mortgage?
$100K.
How much is the house worth?
$350.
Well, then you ain't big enough.
I need a bigger note.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go do yourself a line of credit for $380,000.
Oh, more than the value of the house. Okay.
A line of credit. Do yourself a what do they call them, Mangan, the lines of credit?
The HAMPs or the
Do like you have a line of credit.
A HELOC.
HELOC. That word. Do yourself a HELOC.
100% first position HELOC.
Yeah.
No, 120%.
If they'll give it to him.
Well, he's loaning the money to himself, dude.
I hear you.
He's good for it.
I'm good for it, yeah.
He seems nice. He'll pay.
He'll pay.
So if you're asking me how the real conspiracy theory types would do it, that's how they would do it.
Okay, don't fuss around with the $100K. Go ahead and get the whole thing leveraged up pretty good.
Then you put it in a land trust and have the trustee be somebody in Siberia.
Okay, well, thank you.
Great question. You think I'm making that up, don't you, Tarina?
Nice, very nice.
I know those conspiracy theory types.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about the appreciation event, Zarina.
What you want to know? You want to know when it's coming up and why they should come?
Yes.
Well, it's coming up in November, first week in November, and they should come because I'm going to be there. It's good enough.
There you go. That's everybody's motivation. I'm checking out on that one.
I've actually been getting emails about this, and you know, people asking about it and why should we come. This is, you know, for those of you guys who went to Summer Summit, this is Summer Summit on steroids. This is like the first event that we actually made 5 years ago, and we improve it every single time. So what we've done now is we've kind of made the last 2 days of what used to be a 3-day appreciation event, we actually make that the Node Expo. So what you guys are actually signing up for is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and all Thursday is mentoring students only. And we have, you know, contest case study competitions where people can win, you get to present. We have lots of speakers on that day as well. And then we also talk about upcoming things with Note School, updates. We do a lot of teaching. And then in the evening time, we have our little event, our little shindig where you can, you know, drink and embarrass yourself. And then we have a charity. And it's Monte County. And we've been, how long have we been with them? The whole time? Maybe 4 years? Been given to that charity? So, you know, what was good last year was we actually got to see some of the people behind the scenes at Montague, and they got to share stories of, you know, our donations helping these kids. So we never see the kids, but to hear some of the stories on how, you know, our little donation or whatever here and there, and it adds up, and they utilize down to the penny. So it's always great to kind of give back and then see, you know, see some of those results. So that's Thursday. And then 2 days of the Note Expo, which I'll let Eddie get.
Montague County Child Welfare Board.
Yeah,
and Montague County. That welfare board has won, like, the state award.
Oh, wow.
Child Welfare Board. So what we've been able, Note School's benevolence has been able to really, you know, once again, we've said it like this. It's just we don't get to change the whole world. It's just a little old corner of the world we have an impact.
Right. Absolutely. Eddie, you want to talk about the Note Expo?
Note Expo is an industry trade show, and Bob and I are working on speakers and panelists and vendors and all that stuff. Mr. Moore is in that kind of waist deep with us as well. And it is basically, we're defining it as the place that everybody in the discount note business should be. And I would say a statement to you, Zarina, I don't think we've had an attendee of Note Expo that hasn't said it's been great and wouldn't come back.
Right.
So it definitely is a place to be. And we just kind of built it in where you're, you know, essentially we're the price you're paying for all this as a mentor student is kind of like ridiculous. Uh-huh. I'm not sure that your even dinner's covered in that. Covered, seriously. I mean, so it's like, so yes, we're charging a little bit, but the give back factor is like insane. So it is going to be at the Fort Worth Convention Center, downtown Fort Worth. Really cool facility. Super cool. You gonna get you some cowboy boots, Serena?
I might. I got big feet, so we'll see.
And get you one of them chick outfits.
No.
That's what Ellen's gonna have. She's gonna have her little cowgirl outfit.
I was waiting for that comment. We should go to. We can go shopping together, Zarina.
Okay. All right.
So I know you have the link here, and there is a special thing for the mentor students, and that is. Did you put that link up on the website? Is that what you did, Zarina? How do they know what link to click to make sure they get the right registration?
That link is actually going to be in the syllabus, so we have to do a couple updates to it. But okay. You'll be able to click that link right from the syllabus and go to the right spot.
And let's make sure we put that on the membership side if we can, please.
Okay.
Anyway, this is going to be starts Wednesday night with a titanium VIP reception, and then Thursday, Appreciation Day, then Note Expo Friday and Saturday. And we will conclude Saturday night. So I know there's been a bonus day in the past, but we're actually just going to do that kind of a little slightly into the evening on Saturday, and that way everybody gets to go home Sunday and full of charge and vigor.
When are we going to start asking for case studies, case study competition? Probably in September?
Sure, Tail has taken that assignment, if you recall, yesterday, and he has a presentation tomorrow in our staff meeting. Okay. So we're gonna talk about it tomorrow, matter of fact.
Got it.
It's gonna be different, and I think it's, I mean, we're not belittling the prior case study winners, but I think it's gonna be really good. Maybe always something interesting and new is good, right? It doesn't have to be the same thing every time.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So I think I'm like Forrest Gump, and that's all I got to say about this.
One quick note, I am going to post an updated syllabus to the website after the call, and I've made the two links, one to the event registration and the other to the hotel hyperlinks, so they should be able to write from the syllabus now, go to the correct pages.
Perfect. You're awesome. Everything, Miss Arena?
That's everything I got.
Are you going to release me?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of tired of seeing my big head on this screen, so. I take up the whole screen.
You could sit back further.
That's not helping. All right.
Great session today. Really good case studies. Just to mention it, guys, we have Sarah and Ellen have both, they're Titanians, and they both committed to help us on the content and liaison desk, and they are helping us like really put together stuff. So if you guys do a really good job of getting them in a timely fashion, your stuff, and we'll help, you know, formulate and put together these case studies, we should have a lot more details and stuff. And I think Sarah got a good flavor of that today because she asked a question. Then I came back with like 10 questions that I wanted to know the answer to, and she realized, yeah, that's what we're trying to do and up our game, is that we're really going to, you know, we don't want to be like, well, what could I do? I don't know. I mean, we got to do some filtering. We got to carve out a little more of the story before we can say what's the most likely best strategy.
That was really good to know, too, because I guess, you know, to you it's probably very obvious that you need to know that, but to me I was like, oh, yeah, I suppose that would be important to know. Like, you know, it's a learning process for me.
We're always learning, and I can tell you, sit around here and ask questions of each other. We got a darn season team, and we ask each questions of each other all the time. Right, Zarina? We were on an executive call this morning asking questions that, you know, it's like, you know, well, it could be this, and it might be this, and whatever, and that's what we're trying to do, is to use this forum to really bust all that out. So,
let's move forward.
Nice evening. It is going to be warm here in Texas, Zarina, so my Mint Julia cup may melt.
All right.
Need a fat. See you guys later.
See you.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.